Hey, everybody, welcome back for another episode of The Overlay, a poker podcast brought to you by CCG Poker, Chicagoland's number one live charity poker experience. What up, Brando?
What up?
We just had the, not like we had it, but we were just the people of Chicago, the poker players of Chicago, just had the WSOP circuit event host events over at the Elgin Grand Victoria, which I must say, that's the first time I've been to the Grand Vic in 20 years. When was the last time you were there? Have you ever been there before?
I had been there one prior circuit event, and then one time for you old school guys, it was like Alex is like 25th birthday. I was up there, and then good old Chuck Norris is like, hey, I'll put you in some 1-2. Let's go to Elgin. Me, I'm like, sure, anything to play some 1-2.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm not on my own money. And then I started driving, and I'm like, where in the hell am I? Obviously, for those who don't know, I live in Indiana, so Elgin's quite the haul.
There's no easy way to get to Elgin. No matter where you're at in Chicago, I feel like it's always a difficult spot to find. But
yeah, and when I was there, the poker room was downstairs only. They didn't build out that new poker room yet.
I will say, though, after being there, and again, I haven't been there since the rebuild. I haven't been there in 20-plus years, and I don't even think I ever played poker there. I think Longball and I went one time to we had played golf like out in Elgin. We're like, hey, let's go to the boat and hit some slot machines. And we were playing slot machines, and I hit like a 777 on like a double bar bonus or double star bonus. You know, the machine I'm talking about.
Oh, I know exactly.
They had like the doubles
about.
And the triples, and I hit like blue seven double, and it paid like 600. I was like, wahoo, this is the greatest day ever. That was where the 80-year-old woman called my dad and I fuckers because we were playing four machines, two each. And this is when the rows had four on each of them. And she tried to like get in one. And my dad was like, oh, no, I'm playing that one. And then she tried to go to the one next one. I was like, no, I'm playing that one. And we're not allowed.
You guys are just sitting at the middle two seats, binking.
Yeah, just bink. I think we were both on the outside seats playing all four machines.
Playing the inside.
And, you know, just getting max value for slot machine time.
For sure.
And she had, like, I kid you not, she had, like, an oxygen tank. And she tried to put money in one. And then, no, I'm playing that one. And then as she walked by under her breath, she goes, fuckers. And I was like, oh, my God, that is the greatest comeback.
Experience, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, that was awesome. I will remember that forever. So short of that last experience.
Clearly, here we are talking 20 years later.
It was great.
Still remember. There's no way she's alive.
She's probably 100 still playing those same machines. I will say I did notice that all of the machines now, lots of them are the video slot machines, which I don't know if I trust as much as like the old school reels. What do you think?
You don't care. You're so used to the video poker machines. I don't even see it back. I don't even really remember much of the reels.
Yeah. So I always try to find like the old reel machines. I feel like they're, I don't know, less.
They just have to be random.
It's like just some computer software. If it's a video slot machine, which is still fine. I still play those as well. But like, you know, I like the old school, like Wheel of Fortune machines are my all time favorites for, I want that max payout. I want to see that like $2 million jackpot, which I've never even come close to getting one Wheel of Fortune lineup, let alone all three. But still, I like put my 100 in, sitting there contemplating, what would I do if I won $1.7 million right now in this machine? You know, that's what 22-year-old Ken did. It was great. Actually, 44-year-old Ken still does that, but it's not as exciting.
No, not as exciting. Because you've realized for 20 years that it's probably not going to happen.
Yeah, it's just...
You're 20 years older to spend the money, so...
Right, yeah, and it's like, I guess I would save money for college for my children. I'm like, fuck, what a lame answer that is. Dream bigger, Kenny. Like, find some kind of, I don't know, vintage, I don't know, something or other, motorcycle I could buy for like $80,000. Who knows? Nope, put it in a college fund. Sounds awful. When you hit a stage in life where your dreams of hitting a big jackpot in either cash games, tournaments, or a slot machine is to pay for college for your children, you're like, man, my life's really gotten to a different place than I used to be in my 20s. I'd be like, I'd go to the club, buy all 9 tables, and get tons of bottles, and it's going to be great. So that brings us to our topic of the day, payout problems. I haven't come up with a better title than that. Hopefully ChatGPT can come up with something better than payout problems. But you and I have...
In the meantime.
Poker tournaments, WSOP, and I'm not throwing them under the bus because I think they do an incredible job. I love playing the circuit events. I love playing PLO tournaments. And I typically don't play many Hold'em tournaments, but if I would, they would definitely be a WSOP event. Because again, you know, for... like the monster stack they had at Elgin, it was like a $400 buy-in, and they had gobs of people. Just so many people played in that tournament.
Yeah, I mean, that's the best tournament they offer. And
it's just gobs and gobs of people, and there's like four-day ones, and just like it's a pretty good structure, if not a really good structure. For a $400 buy-in, you really cannot ask for anything more.
Especially from a WSOP-branded event where it's like,
right,
you know, their 400s are like CCG's 40s.
Yeah,
so it's
they're like we don't care.
What are you gonna?
Those.
You can't really ask for much.
Yeah, it's not like you're playing a $10,000, you know, main event seat here, and you're trying to be like, "Well, I want 60K in chips." You're like, "Well, that's what you get in the main event." So I don't really think that's a possibility, but they do, and they're great. But one of the things that you and I noticed while we were playing in the PLO tournament is that the payouts have gotten extremely top heavy and bottom wide. Is that what we came up with as a description?
Kind of, yeah. Bottom wide, yeah.
Give me a breakdown of what you
see. They're stretched too long at the bottom, and they're pinched too tight at the top.
Oh, that's
no. They're not pinched too tight. They're really stretched on both ends.
Yeah.
But it's all the money's at the top, and then the leftover money's on the bottom.
Right.
And everybody in the middle's kind of left in no man's land.
Yeah, like the old days of like making a final table and feeling like you're getting a really good return on your, and I hate to say return on your investment, but that's what a lot of us think of it as, right? Like your
right.
return,
I mean,
on
yeah,
what,
your ROI.
Yeah, yeah, I put in six, and this is a $400 PLO tournament, which was different. I like the $600 price point better, but for some reason, Elgin always does, the circuit in Elgin always does a $400 PLO tournament. They were very conscientious of the lunar eclipse on Monday, because I feel like normally the PLO tournament is either Sunday night start, Monday finish. This time was a Tuesday night start, or Tuesday afternoon start. It actually started a little bit earlier for those PLO players. I was a little surprised by that. But I thought that was nice, right? Like they didn't try to plan like the one PLO tournament during the solar eclipse of the heart. Total eclipse, whatever it's called, lunar eclipse, solar eclipse. Which one is it?
I don't know. I didn't experience it.
Eclipse. It was awesome. Solar eclipse. That return on investment was good. Took me 6 hours to drive to Indianapolis one way, which is like double the time of what it should take. But the actual event itself, we went to the Indianapolis Speedway, took the whole fam. It was awesome. It was my nephew's 10th birthday. We had a blast. And it really was, for the 3 minutes that you were in that totality, it was very, very cool. I had to remember that when I was driving home, and it took me 6 hours to drive home, and every bathroom at these podunk little gas stations, because we like went off highway to drive home, was massively, massively overflowed, literally, to the point where it's like, yep, there's 20 people in line. Like, nope, that ain't flushing anymore. Might as well get out of line. Go to the next gas station and race all of the people that are in line right now to
try
to get to the,
bailing with
yeah,
you to
just
trying
to get to the next gas station with the bathroom. It was rough, but the actual eclipse part was really cool. But we're looking very specifically at the PLO tournament. 185 buy-ins, right?
Yes, sir. Correct.
Top 28 paid out, which is how much percent? Like 15?
That is pretty much precisely 15 with rounding.
It's rounding up because 185, 28 players is 27.75. So it's a little bit better, a little bit less, a little bit less than 28%. No, that can't
no,
be
a little right. bit more than 15%.
Yeah, there
slightly,
you go. Sorry.
Slightly more than 15%.
I got you, because I did 185 times 0.15. Yep. 27 and change. So they rounded it up to 28 players. But the problem with the payout, and this is what the podcast episode about today is the idea of, Brando, you cashed. I did.
I did.
I got down I to did. Like 50-something players, like six tables left, I think. Busted with aces again. Everybody loves to hear Ken's bad beat stories. You only get them on the podcast. So that is a podcast exclusive. You'll never hear bad beat stories from me except on the podcast. So thank you, all of you who listen to the podcast and Ken's very randomly, poorly told bad beat stories. Brandon loves hearing my stories.
Yeah, I was about to say, that's except for me, I get all of them.
Yeah, I call you, but you're like my right. You're my confidant. You're my poker confidant.
Yeah,
I call you
outlet. Yeah,
right. And I'm always like, so I raised. Wait, no, I checked. No, I limped, and then this guy.
Pat, I was on the button. No way. No, I was actually under the gun.
I was on. Wait, hold on. And then there was two guys in hand. No, wait. There's definitely four guys in the hand. So maybe one of them raised. It's, I tell the worst stories. So thankfully on the podcast, Brandon wraps it into like a much more concise story.
Yeah, you got it in with aces and you lost.
I got it in with aces and lost. So that's the third PLO tournament in a row that I've gotten it all in with aces, at least single suited. The one at the Horseshoe, I was double suited and bricked all three times. One of those does include the PLO Action Jackson that I got busted with aces, so that's not nearly as bad. But my last two big PLO tournaments, I got busted with aces. So I guess I can hold my head up high with that, which is nice. And I lost to a two-time or three-time bracelet winner, PLO bracelet
Two-time bracelet winner.
He was actually really good, and I loved watching him play. It's so nice that I have Brandon as my consigliere of poker, is because when I'm at a table, I have no idea of who's who. And then Brandon's like, oh, you have Alex Foxen at your table. And Will, what's the other guy's name?
Jaffe.
Will Jaffe. And I was like, I don't know who those guys are. And you're like, oh, yeah, that guy's got like 12 million in winnings. And this guy's got,
yeah,
so,
more like,
I was like, oh, 10
million or 20 million. But
he's like one of the top winningest poker players of all time. And I definitely, and everybody was fanboying on him, and I had no idea who he was. It was great. But back to the story at hand. You got 28th place. How many places paid out?
28.
28 spots. How many bullets were you in for?
Two.
You were in for two bullets, $800. What was the payout for 28th place?
Like 614?
Yeah, 1.53x the buy-in. Brandon did this really nice note here with all of the payouts and how much per your buy-in it was. But that in there lies the problem of, you know, you play in a tournament and you make the money and you're happy, but it's like, I don't know.
Yeah, I lost.
Well, I mean, you lost money, but you always yell at me and say, hey, you can't think of it as you're in for $800. Yeah. You have to think of it as a $400 tournament, and it's just two separate occurrences, which
absolutely
never makes me feel better, but I do understand that rationale. So you did win technically on your second buy-in, because the first one's gone and dead. You won, you know, $200. And you came in a little late for the tournament, so your ROI goes up because you played from, what, 6 until what time did you get done?
About midnight.
About midnight. So that's what, 6 hours?
6 hours.
6 hours.
Yeah, so your hourly is a little better when you're...
Yeah, you're only in for 6, but even if you were in for 8, $215 divided by 8 hours, you know, that's $26 an hour.
It's honest living.
That's not bad. If I could go and play poker and make almost $27 an hour, I'd go, that's great. And have a chance at winning, what was first place prize, like 15K?
15,000, yeah.
Is it almost 16 or was it like just over 15?
No, it was like 15,003.
Oh, so it was just over 15.
Yeah.
Just over. Who cares? It's a $400 tournament with 185 players. That seems pretty good. But the problem that I think that Brandon and I have with the payouts and the structure that they currently follow is that typically most players only look at two payouts, right? What do they look at?
Min cash, first place.
Min cash, first place. Nobody looks to see what fifth place is. And rightfully so. Nobody's trying to get fifth place. We're either trying to get in the money, and then when you're in the money, you start thinking about first place prize. And there are ladder ups, but the problem is with these ladder ups, it goes from 28, 27, 26, 25... paid the same as you, so that's good. 24th place got 1.6x their money, so a very incremental amount.
It's like $640 or $660.
Then the next payout goes to 1.75, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 more spots. Now you're in the top 20, and you're at 1.75.
You aren't even at $800.
Yeah, 1.9. Literally 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Sorry, I'm going backwards here, folks. To get to 3X your money, meaning an $1,200 payout. Holy shit, $1,200 payout?
Yeah.
Which doesn't seem like that much in a poker tournament. To final table, ninth place was 3.1 times your buy-in, which would have been a little over $1,200.
Yeah, $1,240.
That to me seems... I don't know. I feel like
not
for you to finish 28th place, to then make it all the way to the final table, outlast another 20 players, 19 players to be exact, two-thirds of the people in the money to get down to now you're making 1,200? Like double?
Right, so they only made double me.
They only made $600 more than you.
And survived from 28th to the final table.
Right.
And let me tell you, I can't express enough how far away I felt from the final table.
Oh, yeah.
28th. I wasn't even freaking close.
No.
I mean, yeah. They were down to three tables. But three full tables and eight, there's a lot of movement. A lot of chips got to go around. Like, the average stack, like, doubles twice before you get to the final table. It's a lot has to happen in those. And that was about a 3.5 hour chunk because I stayed and played cash until like they made the final table. And I busted around midnight and they came up to the poker room right as the poker room was closing at 4 a.m. So it was another 4 hours of play.
Jeez.
And those guys, you know, netted a double up for me. And that's if you made the final table. That's ninth. That's closing down when you got to nine, going home,
coming back the next day,
right. And then busting ninth. I think PJ is who busted ninth.
Oof. That's the worst. You'd rather bust 10th.
You'd rather bust 28th?
Right.
Probably.
Well, I mean, kind of. That's kind of the point that we're making, that it's, right. You know. And then really, you don't even get into like, some night eighth place is 3.8x, then you go to 5x, so now you're $2,000 for seventh place, which, you know, it's nice.
But again, it's nice, but seventh out of 185,
right?
In a 400,
yeah, it doesn't seem great, and even then, like third place money was like $4,400, which is nice. But you really got to get to like fourth place money. Fifth place money was 8.6.
So you're not even 10x and getting top five.
Right.
And top five is what? 1%? Like 98% of the field gone? And you didn't even 5x?
Yeah. That's so less because.
Yeah.
Yeah, 10% would be like 18 people. So, oh yeah, you're right. So nine is at 5%, you're getting double what you would have gotten from minimum cash, $600 more. And to outlast that many more people seems like a lot for a very small amount. And I think what we want to talk about too is the idea is that, you know, yes, it's nice to get that big 15 and, you know, second place was like 10. So like, that's pretty cool too. But that was a big jump between first and second, I felt like. A pretty large chunk of money. Which makes it hard, especially since they don't let you do any kind of deals or chops. You have to do all that on your side. And, you know, that's a little troublesome because you have to hope some guy's going to give you $5,000 at the end of the night. You know, most people are a little worried about that.
I think, you know, a lot of the problem is by paying me out $623.
Yeah,
they kind of dilutes those other spots, you know.
The top end spots. You know, like I feel like the final table, you should get more than $600 more than what the last place money got.
Right.
Especially when that only happens 20 players difference
when you tighten. Yeah, and that's what happens when you tighten the. You know, you pay out 10%. You pay out top 20 or top 19.
I feel like they should have done top 20 at bat. They could cut out eight spots.
Right, because that's eight spots that you're all paying $600 to.
A little bit more, because if you took out the bottom six, you got four of them at 1.56, three of them at 1.63, and one at 1.75. So, I mean, that's a ton.
Yeah, that's a lot of more money that you can distribute out. And then, you know, first place gets all the money.
I mean, that's like another 10,000. So is it nice to kind of re-put that into the poker economy of Chicago? Yeah, I'm sure. But
which is why they do it.
They do, but I feel like it feel like it puts a bad taste in people's mouths. Like
that actually do cash, or all those people that get 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, it's like, what the hell is this?
What is this? Yeah, like I got 11th at the Horseshoe Tournament last February, and that's a $600 tournament, and it paid out like $1,700, and I got 10th place, because I think 11th or 10th. I think 10 and 11 paid the same, which is...
And I think that there was over 200 in that one.
Yeah. And it was like 220 or something, 230. maybe even closer to 250. So, I mean, to get 11th place out of 250 people and I got three times my buy-in, not even, a little less. 1,800 would have been three times the buy-in. It wasn't 1,800. It was like 1,748. And I tipped off to 48 and took home 1,700. But I was like, man, I played all day on Sunday. I played a good chunk of day two. That's nice. You're up on the stage. You do feel good. But I'm just like, man, I don't feel like, again, you feel so far from that first place spot and you're only 10 players from the first place spot.
Yep, that's where the top part comes into play. It's almost like you need to thin off the bottom,
yep,
and then flatten out the whole top. Like, you don't need these huge, like, what's the jump? Like, what's the multiplier from first, second, and third? Because I'm driving, so.
First place got 37.5x their buy-in.
Yep, and then second.
23.1.
Yep, and then third.
16.2.
Right.
11.7.
37, 25, 16, 11, right? 37, 25, something like that.
37, 23, 16, and 12.
Okay, yeah. So that's not really flat.
No.
For the guy in fourth to get 11.
Yeah.
And the guy in first to get 37, it's almost like you would like those to be just tailored slightly incrementally different, where it's not like first is getting double second or almost right. Double second.
I mean, it's a big chunk, yeah.
It's like, you know, I get it, but you already get the prestige of winning the tournament. You already get the ring. You already get the free roll seat that comes with it to play in the Tournament of Champions. Like, you get enough accolades and stuff for shipping a tournament,
right?
That, like, you
and
don't need
a ton
to
of
get
money.
Double second.
No, it's not quite double. I mean, second place money would have been about 9,000 and change. 23.1 times 400 is $9,240.
Okay, so 9,000. Okay,
it's a $6,000 difference.
Right. When you put that into buy-ins, that's 15 people's buy-ins difference. You know, right. It's like that's a huge jump from just like losing a race at the end to get second.
That's all it is. Yep. And then third is 16.
Yeah. So I think it's. I mean, I don't know how to fix it. I think it starts with leaving more money up top, leaving more money for the top 20 as opposed to the top 28.
Even if they cut out seven buy-ins at the bottom, they did final 21. What do we play? We play nine-handed, right?
We played nine-handed, yeah.
So 9, 18. So, God, it doesn't even make sense to go to 28. I mean, I would have just done 27 to make it the final three tables. Would have been a little bit easier.
Thank God they went to 28.
Yeah, I just feel like as a tournament director, yeah, you got 28, so you were happy with that. But I feel like that right there, they should have just rounded down. But if you'd have cut out and just done, you know, 21 tables.
Yeah, 21.
And that would be the final three. You're talking about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I mean, that's
seven times like $630 on average, $640 on average. That's $4,500. You can redistribute that to ninth and eighth and seventh and make those, you know, make
those final table players feel a little bit better about what they do. Because most people like you, it's like, I don't even care about the, I mean, obviously,
right,
you care.
Right, the 600, no, but you don't. You don't feel like you want anything.
Mm-mm. I wonder if people would complain, though, and be like, oh, I got down to the final three tables and I only got 600 because the payouts would be similar. Min cash would still be around the same, you know, $600-$700. I wonder if but is that better? I think it's better that way.
But I feel like in the old school days, a min cash was a double up. Like when they paid out 10%, you were getting a double up in min cash and you kind of felt good about that.
Yeah. Because even the main event when you cashed,
it was 15K.
Was the winner.
That's not what I cashed for. That's what 1,000th, they paid out top 1,000. 1,000th place was 15K.
I gotcha.
Which is the exact same as this tournament. Yeah, it's 400. It's the same thing.
And you got down to another, and how many players did you get down from, like, what was the min cash when you, how many players min cash when you cashed? Do you remember? Like, roughly speaking?
It was 1,000, and then I got like 620th.
So again, it's like the same principle. You outlasted 40% of the field, 38%.
Right, and got a little 5K bumper.
Seems like to get that many people to get a 5K bump just feels like I did a lot of work for that 5K. Now, granted, when you say $5,000 winner, it sounds awesome. I mean, if I had to take a $5,000
winner. But in a 10K buy-in, it doesn't.
Relatively speaking, right. It feels like it would have been better for them to do, yeah. And you did say what the, when you played at the bubble was like, what, like 3 hours?
It was so long. Yeah, it was multiple hours because they made the, it was like 11:30 at night. They made the announcement. We're supposed to stop at midnight. They made the announcement that
we're going to play the money.
We're going to the bubble because ESPN's here and the cameras are all set up and screw it, we're going.
Right.
And that was with like 1,030 players left.
Only had to dodge 30 players.
And then it kind of went down to like 1,008 pretty quick, or like 1,006.
Uh-huh.
But then you started the hand for hand on 1,006, and it was like 15 minutes of hand.
Oh, jeez. Because
I remember I had a masseuse come over. It was like 12:30. And I was like, just give me a massage until we're done.
Whew.
You know, like, don't, you don't even need to, like, you know, whatever. Like, when I'm going until, you know, the day's over. Because here I'm thinking, like, ah, it could be half hour. It could be whatever it is. I don't know, but, you know.
An hour, maybe, yeah.
Right, an hour, maybe. Well, next thing you know, we played four hands, and now it's 1:30. And then we played four more hands, and it's 2:30. And then finally, like, three guys busted on a hand to get into the money. But, I mean, it was like 3 a.m.
Right, and that, I feel like that is a mildly skewed kind of example.
Of course it is, because
it's the main event.
And they have to do hand-for-hand on all those tables.
And it's the main event. I feel like a lot of people are happy with just a min cash in the WSOP main event. To say that they have cashed in the main event, I understand the wider payouts at the bottom, or, you know, the, like going to 15%. I understand that in the main event, because once they're talking about getting to it, but again, you still have that trouble of those middle rounds where it's like the incremental jumps are so small and you're outlasting so much of the field. It feels like, I don't know, to give those extra 400 people the ability to say that they cashed.
Plus 15 more thousand again. It's 15,000 again with not 600.
Correct.
Like the PLO tournament is.
Right.
That's a lot of money to keep in the economy.
Right.
Which obviously, you know, I mean, 15,000, like when I ended up cashing for 20,000, I mean, that slightly altered the rest of my trip.
Right.
I mean, instead of having a 10K loser and a 10K winner, like,
right.
Just, you know, all of a sudden I put your sister in the half and half 1500
right.
PLO no limit. She played two bullets in that for 3K.
And I guess that's what, like, the WSOP is hoping for, right? Is that you right. end up playing more stuff. And most people, I would say, arguably would, you know,
yep.
that's kind of a standard thing.
So maybe, like, we need to have a cutoff of a buy-in range where, like, instead of just being a blanket 15%, because, like, to be honest, I feel like there's a happy medium.
It's like 12%, you know?
Yeah. I care about cashing the main event for $15,000.
Absolutely.
It wasn't even so much the money. It is almost just like, it's cool to cash the main event.
That's my point. But I feel like it's a little bit right. different than like a normal $400 tournament or a 1K or even a $1,500 tournament. You know,
yeah, you're less. Cash for $22.50
right.
is cool.
I would say that most poker players, if you said, oh, you went to WSOP. Yeah, I played the main event. Awesome. How did you do? I cashed. That's amazing. Like, they instantly, it's like, you know, that guy's an accomplished poker player. I mean, he cashed the main event. Like, that's a big deal. And I'm not dumb. I'm not making, like, I'm serious. Like, I would be very proud of putting that on my poker resume, even though it's only a 0.5x, you know, of my buy-in, you know, profit. But, you know, not many people are going to go, oh, I played the $1,800 tournament at the Venetian and I min cashed. Nobody cares, you know?
For sure. Agreed.
Like, you're going to have that on your Hendon mob that shows you had a $400 winner. It's like, oof, big one. Would you move up? One spot?
Yeah, one spot in the state leaderboard? It's not even the all-time.
No, it's not even going to affect it. So I feel like maybe some of the smaller buy-in tournaments, main event kind of set aside. I understand the reasoning for that, but I think that has trickled down into all types of tournament play. And I feel like 15% in general is too high.
Much.
It's too high. There's too much, because then it thins out all of those other places where I feel like you should give more credit to the players that get in, you know, deeper in the tournament. Because level
of satisfaction. Yeah, there's level of satisfaction. Right. And they have to keep the top people happy as well.
For sure.
Nobody wants to play a 400 where first place is 10K because they spread it all the way out.
Correct.
So you have to load it up on the top.
Right.
You can't thin it down for second through 15th because there's so much on the top and so much on the bottom.
Right.
That, like, those guys in the middle are just literally in no man's land. And it makes for not really.
There's really no difference in 28th place than there
in
9th
place.
I mean, there's a small amount, but not sure. Not a significant amount.
But if you say 15th place and 28th place, it's all literally the same.
Right.
I mean, we're talking about a couple $100 here in a $400 buy-in.
You don't even get to two extra money until you hit 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9,
sorry, 10, I should have numbered 11,
12,
them.
13. 13 spots, so that's what, 14th place?
Yeah, so that's 14th place, which is another double because I got 28.
Yeah, 15th.
So you
got
to last another half the field,
yeah,
just to get a double up for an extra 200s,
right?
In a 400 buy-in, and then it makes for kind of like not really great poker during that middle phrase because then all of a sudden it's like, why not gamble? Why not? Why not just get it in? We're all trying to get first.
Well, you're still
kind of difference anyways,
right? There's no like. Yeah, you know, the tournament does kind of get diminished because of that fact, right? It's like, well, whatever. Like the ladders are not very big, right? You don't really ladder up. Nobody really looks at the difference between 28th and 10th because it's like it's not a significant amount of money where it's like, oh, I'm going to grind out this short stack, really play good or tight.
Try and ladder up.
Right. I mean, it's like, it really doesn't
first
matter.
First spot you can find a gamble, it's gambling. And then that, that kind of ruins the tournament a little bit. Speaking of which, 12%.
It's like a second it's like a second tournament starts after the money busts. And it's like, okay, now people are just trying to accumulate chips. And if they get busted, they get busted until you hit a point where then the money does become significant again. In this tournament, we're talking about really like top seven.
Yeah.
And that's stretching it a bit. Might be top six.
Right. Right. I wanted to say top five.
And then another new tournament starts, and it's like, okay, now we can actually.
Now there's ICM.
Now there's some jumps. Like, now I want to get the difference between seventh and sixth, you know, is, I guess, you know, $800. So it's really not
but
that
still,
much.
That's but still, two more buy-ins when you put it that way.
Look at it as buy-ins. Yeah, it's a good point. I think of it as dollars. You got to think of it as you know, the
more tournaments you can
power.
Play because of that.
Correct. Yeah, correct. Power, yeah.
So, yeah.
12%, I think, should be the new one.
So, CCG, tables plus one.
I mean, I like the fact when it's 10 to, I always tell people 10 to 13% is really what gets paid out, and it's probably closer to 10. I feel like that's a better, you know.
It is, because the min casters are happy. There's instantly, and now we have a lot of smaller fields, so if you have 70 people and top eight are getting paid, obviously every pay jump is going to matter.
Correct.
But everything matters. Like, there is an actual bubble because the bubble is, you know, $260 on a $120 buy-in.
Right.
So it's, you know, two and a half extra money. So that's a real bubble there. And then every ladder up after that matters, as opposed to these, like you said it right, there's a whole tournament till you get to the bubble, and once the bubble bursts, there's a whole brand new tournament until the top five, and then the top five there's a
then they're playing for real
playing for
right
the
where they're really the looking at it, which I guess is maybe that's the way poker tournaments are, but I feel like, and I even if you did top 12%, that would still kind of happen anyways, because I mean, look at it, you went from you know 1,000 people down to 600, and you said it was fast, right, in the main event.
Oh, it was
like,
lightning.
Like two levels? Like one level?
No, like one level.
That's 2 hours. Imagine if you went from like 40% of the field got dumped in a early bird with 12-minute levels, and in 12 minutes you went down from, you know, three tables to one, you know, in 12 minutes. Like that's just, you couldn't even physically do it. They wouldn't be able to move fast enough.
So, yeah, I don't know what the answer is, but it makes for some weird spots and some weird, I don't know if it's partially mentally. I don't know if we're supposed to be I feel like any pro that's listening would be like, well, take it in terms of money risk after rake. And then it would be 300. We'd be basing this all on $330 and not 400.
Oh, wow.
Maybe
that
makes. Yeah. That's the way they look at it. The rake is just fixed. The rake's fixed. The rake is just what it's going to be.
They don't look at it
as
a $400 buy-in. They look at it as a $330 or whatever it is.
Right. So then all of a sudden, oh, well, a min cash is a double up.
And then maybe that's the reasoning behind it, right? Like it's after the rake. You really are getting double your money.
Yeah. Rake really.
You pay that money no matter what.
Yeah. The rake factor is what we're factoring in here. We all just can't live in online poker where they're only going to rake, you know, $8 on 100, right. The 109s or the 215s. God, nobody's making $15. Yeah, $15 on a $200 buy-in. I mean, that would be an absolute dream. But in reality, the World Series of Poker couldn't put on that event without raking what they rake. So it's just, again, it's fixed. It's part of what it is. It's the same thing at any poker room in America. The rake's never really too high. It's just like what it needs to be for everything to work. I mean, they got to pay Elgin, they got software, they got dealers, they got floors, they
you got staff, you got tons of stuff to do.
You got everything to come along with it, come out of that rake. And then, you know, the brand needs to make something, obviously.
Correct. Otherwise, why do
it? Like, right. So when you're talking about these quote unquote lower buy-ins of 400, like the staff is still the same,
right?
Whether it's 4,000 or 400, you still need X amount of dealers, X amount of floor, a big enough ballroom to put it in. So like it's going to feel heavier, but in reality it's just, it is what it is.
Right. You don't get you don't get the benefit of a lower buy-in event is typically going to be a higher rake, and it's just the way that it is. You can't, just, you can't change that, right? All right.
So
as this is the 100th episode of The Overlay, congratulations, Brando, for you and I to do 100 episodes. Thank you to everyone who has actually listened to all 100.
Or even half.
There might be like three of you out there. I bet like Liam might have listened to all 100 episodes.
I'd be honored if he did. But he travels a lot, so he's got to listen.
He does have time, which is nice. He's a nice asset at CCG. I always enjoy when he makes a trip over to play with us. But being that this is the 100th episode, if you manage to listen all the way to the end of this episode, number 100, we are going to give away how many deep stack seats, Brando?
I don't know. I don't want to skimp them out. Three?
I was going to say three's a number. The hook was 2.5. I think 2's not enough, and 3 is good. So
5 might be too many. We might not even have 5 listeners to give them to.
Right. We'd have to like give 2 to Richie, who listened to it. hey, Richie, what's up? So yeah, we're going to give away 3 seats. All you have to do is when I post on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, wherever you see this particular, the episode 100, problematic payouts, might go with that. That's what ChatGPT came up with. Problematic payouts. If you comment on any one of those platforms, just the number that you think should be paid out. My wife is FaceTiming me. Sorry about that, everybody. We declined it. the number of like the percentage of payouts that you think is a good payout. 10%, 5%, 12%. And we'll just randomly pick a winner. So you could put 50% of people if you want. It doesn't have to be a realistic number. I would love to play a winner-take-all tournament just because it's like a whole different, it's just a different like landscape. It's so different. So all I got to do is comment on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, any of them. If you're smart, comment on all three because it triples your chances. Yeah. It always amazes me that people just post on one platform and not all three. Post on all three. I don't even care if it's the same answer. It's just a random drawing. So it doesn't matter what number you post. Just
your name's getting into the pool times.
Just post comment and we'll get in there. Make sure you hit that subscribe button if you're listening to us anywhere on the podcast platforms. Follow us on Twitter at The Overlay Pod. Other than that, congratulations on listening to 100 episodes. Thank you for taking this journey with us. We're going to keep going, right, Brando?
I think so. I mean, can't stop now.
Yeah, make it to 300. See what happens. As always, thanks for listening. Brando, lead us out of here.
Farewell, all.
See you, everybody.